Wikipedia shows us that Father's Day is a holiday honoring fatherhood and parental bonds, as well as the influence of fathers in our society. Now, in the Catholic countries of Europe, it has been celebrated on March the 19th. And this day is called, not Father's Day, but St. Joseph's Day. Are you familiar with this? Okay. Let me share a little bit about St. Joseph's Day and why these European countries acknowledge this day as St. Joseph's Day. In the Western Christianity, the principal feast day, St. Joseph's Day, is in honor of Joseph, the husband of the Virgin Mary, who this society deems is the legal father of Jesus Christ. He is the legal, physical father of Jesus Christ. And so they honor Joseph on this day, as well as all other fathers, because of Joseph's role in being the father, the legal father of Jesus Christ. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about this as we go along. Father's Day is recognized as a public holiday in all the countries, Lithuania, parts of Spain, Italy, a national holiday in Australia, South Korea. Now, in South Korea, they recognize this day as Parents' Day. They don't just exclude the mother. On this day, they recognize Parents' Day. And then they went a little further. Why just recognize parents? How about Grandparents' Day? How about Siblings' Day? So this day next week in other countries will be honoring and recognizing family, as I can put it best to us. They will be recognizing and honoring family. History.com shows us on July 5th, 1908, in West Virginia, a church sponsored the nation's first event in honor of fathers. This was a very solemn day as a memorial took place. Prior to this day, 362 men had died in the Fairmont coal mines. And so these fathers were recognized on this particular Sunday of June 5th, 1908. The next year, a Spokane, Washington woman named Sonora Smart Dodd, one of six children raised by a widower, her father. She wanted Father's Day recognized in honor of her father, who was a Civil War veteran, William Jackson Smart. She wanted him recognized for his devotion, his selfless acts as a dad. And slowly, she began to push and encourage local leaders to help her in getting our country, our nation, to set aside one day out of the year to recognize fathers. As you remember also, there was another daughter who wanted Mother's Day recognized just 2 years earlier. She pushed also, and she wanted Mother's Day recognized for the selfless acts of their mothers. You remember who she was? Anna Jarvis. She wanted her mother recognized, and she pushed, as well as Sonora Smart Dodd. They pushed, these two daughters, two separate households, two separate families, pushed for these days to be recognized by our country. Mother's Day and Father's Day. Family, let's take some time this afternoon to be reminded about the truth of Father's Day. Now, God, in Exodus 20, verse 12, is the one who ordained the honoring of your parents, because he said to honor thy father and thy mother. He says to honor them. You know, one of the most difficult parts of my life as a child growing up is not really knowing my biological father. Now, I met him when I was 16 years old for the very first time. I met him at the death and burial of my biological mother. When I met him, here I stood about 5'9", and he stood about 5'4". I'm looking at this little guy, and I'm saying to myself, this little guy is my dad. I met him, standing there, proud. I met this guy for the very first time. I've heard about you, but never knew you. So I met him for the very first time. I wanted to get to know him. I asked him, you know, I didn't call him dad. You know, I was 16 years old. You know, what do you say to this guy the first time you meet him? You know, I said, Mr. Holmes, you know, could I have the opportunity to come and spend some time with you to get to know you? And he said, yes. He said, we can make that happen. So I was looking forward towards the end of the summer, going back down to Greenwood, Mississippi, and spending a couple of weeks, if not more, with this man named Prince Albert Holmes Sr., who was my father. Unfortunately, I did have that opportunity to go back in 2 months, but this time it was to bury him next to my mother. He was fine as long as she was alive. He had grieved himself to death over her death. He had no other reason to live because she was no longer around. Now, just because of the fact that I did not get to really know him, does that take away from me honoring him, even with carrying this last name Holmes? Still honor him, even though I don't know him. I didn't get to know him, but he played a role in my existence here on this earth. And so I know with each one of you, you have your stories about your biological fathers, whether they were nice or whether they were not so nice. But nonetheless, God gave us a command that we are to honor our parents. You honor your mother and honor your father. The question, family, for you and me, are we still obeying that command today? God did not give us perfect parents. If he had given us perfect parents, then we would be perfect kids, wouldn't we? And we all know we're not perfect kids. We have history, you know, and we have history that shows and proves, even in the times of the children of Israel, how they disobeyed. And yet we today, family, we today have our own stories of our childhood with our parents. Do we still honor our parents? You know, there are times when you look up and you, in memory, you know, your father's not around anymore, but you remember him. You remember what he did. You remember what he was like. That was Dad. And you have pictures that remind you of your father. I have one. The thing that always troubled me was he was this little bitty guy that I was looking down at. But nonetheless, he was my father. So, in moving forward, family, how do you honor? And in keeping the commandment that God gave us, how do you honor today your physical father? Are you complaining about him? Are you glad that you're not around him? What's your attitude like when it comes to your physical father? Well, I hope, family, that when we come to the conclusion of this message this afternoon, I hope that our attitude will change when it comes to our physical fathers. And the reason I say that is because one of the hardest things for me to do is to see God as my father, my spiritual father. You see, there's a relationship, and I began to know and understand more and more as I got older why those two parents are so very important. Because it reflects a relationship. And that relationship becomes important when we have that relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. So let me change gears for a moment. How do we honor God, our spiritual father, today? Do we honor him by keeping his word, keeping his commandments? Do we honor him by our lives and the reflection of Jesus Christ in our life, in our walk, in our talk? Everything about us, does it say that we are the children of God? What does that look like to others? Now, I mentioned earlier that Joseph, on March 19th, has a day over in Europe, a day to honor fathers because of St. Joseph Day. St. Joseph Day, the day of the legal parent of Jesus Christ. Now, when I saw that and I read that, it struck me odd just for a brief moment. But let's take a look at this from a worldly standpoint of view. If one goes today and adopts a child, now that child had a birth parent, father and mother. Now, when you go to adopt that child, the courts now will change the documents. If you are not that child's biological father, and you want to adopt this child, and you want this child to have your last name, then you have to go through this process. And as you go through this process, the instructions are made very clear to you as your responsibilities. If you do this, you're taking on the sole responsibility as a parent over this kid. And so, if you meet all the requirements, the court will grant you that adoption. And little Johnny Joe now become little Johnny Martin. And on that birth line for father is Daddy Martin. Your name goes on that document. Now, what they do with the original documents, I don't know. But yet, your name goes on that legal document. And so here, as the church, the Catholic Church, recognizes St. Joseph's Day, this is how they come up with the legal. He is the legal father of Jesus Christ. I really didn't take any offense to that because we know the truth about this. Now let us go back and let us remember the truth as we now move forward in honoring God. Honoring God, our spiritual father. Let's go over to Luke. Let's go over to Luke chapter 1. Let's begin here. Luke chapter 1, and let's drop down to verse 26 here. How do we honor God today? How do we honor God today? And the title for this message this afternoon is, How Well Do You Know Your Father? How well do you know your father? Luke 1, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, Mary thought, well, this is real troubling. What kind of greeting is this that you're going to walk in my house and, you know, and you're going to say these things, you know, highly favored, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. Verse 29, when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings and considered what manner of greeting this was. And you would feel and be the same way if I walked into your home and I said, well, greetings, instead of saying my sister, greetings, O favorite one, highly favored of God. Blessed are you amongst the women. And the first thing you're going to probably say is, have you been in the bourbon again? Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid. We find this throughout God's word quite a bit, don't we? Every time that God sends forth a messenger to someone that he is trying to get their attention, the first thing that is said to them is, don't be afraid. It says, Mary, you have favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. Now, here's something that's a little disturbing. I'm betrothed to this guy, and you're saying I'm going to have a kid. I don't see this happening. This is just not possible. I can look around the room, and I can look at all my sisters in this room and put you in this position, and I could probably tell you how each one of you would react to this comment. And I'm thankful it wouldn't be me that would come in to tell you, hey, God sent me because you guys are going to throw me out. It says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of your father, David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall have no end. Now, this is quite a bit for Mary to take in. You know, first the greeting, and now you're telling me all these things that's going to happen, that's going to take place. I'm just betrothed to the guy. It's an engagement, and you're telling me all these other things here. Now, today I can see you guys kind of getting out of this engagement because there's something wrong here. But yet, God had a plan. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. He will be called the Son of God. Now this is quite an event that now Mary is going to give birth to the very Son of God. Now, of course, the angel goes on and he speaks about a family member, Elizabeth, who was barren. She couldn't have any children. And he let her know that she is in her 6th month. And she's going to have a child. And yet, he reminded her, you know, even though she was barren, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Now, we have learned, I hope, from other stories in the Bible, as the women in the church, don't laugh when God says, you know, hey, you might have a baby in your old age. Remember what happened to the last ones that did that? They had a child in their old age. And so here is Elizabeth, who was barren. All right? Now I'd like to share a story with you. I went back, I did a little research to find out, within the past 10 years, have there been any women that were above 50 giving birth to children? Warning to all you ladies sitting right here, I found 2. Okay? CBS News reports, May 12, 2016, a woman in India, her name was Daljan Kaur. She was 70 years old, and she gave birth to a baby boy. Now, her husband is 79 years old. Uh-huh. And she said, I feel blessed to be able to hold my own baby. I had lost hope in becoming a mother. And now, at the age of 70, she has a baby. She says, everyone asked me to adopt a baby, but I never wanted to. I had faith in the Almighty, and I knew I would bear a child one day. At 70 years old, she never gave up. She never gave up hope. At 70 years, why do you think God waited until she was 70 years old to allow her to have a child? To teach all you women a lesson. That's my take on that one. And by the way, this lady was living in northern India. Lady number 2, a 70-year-old woman from southern India has given birth to her first children. She gave birth to twin girls at 74 years old. Her name is so long, it's almost like a whole paragraph here, so I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. But she gave birth to her children through a cesarean section. And so did the other mother as well. 74 years old, giving birth. 74. All things are possible. So ladies, take this as a warning. Don't ever say, this is not happening to me. I have proof for all of you. And this was just 2 years ago in southern India. The other one was 2016, which was 4 years ago. Now, word to all you husbands. If your wife says, you know what, I think I'd like to go to India for the feast. Remember the two stories? You remember the age of those two women? Men, do I have to tell you anything else? There's something in the water in India. Don't go. Don't go. But anyway, it has happened and it continues to happen. All things, family, are possible. Both women, in their biography, they did not want to give up on God. They believed that that would happen one day. But in their old age, that's amazing to me that God still would go ahead and honor their request. And I feel and believe when God did that, it was just a reminder to you and to me that all things are possible. If only we believe. The first woman said she would not give up. She would not give up hope. She still believed that one day it would happen. Matthew 1, let's drop down to verse 18. Matthew 1, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought of these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, here we go again. What did he say? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, he says, to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from all their sins. Verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, in our society today, a lot of men today probably would not step up to the plate and accept this. You know, I am engaged to you, and now you're telling me that you're pregnant. What am I supposed to do? What are people going to say? You know, that's going to be our first reaction. So he wanted to put her away secretly. Now, if we see before verse 18 here in Matthew 1, they were betrothed. But then when we drop down to verse 19, Joseph is her husband. Somewhere along the line, there was a marriage. And the angel told him not to fear. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her until after they had their firstborn son, whose name was called Jesus. Now, this will be a very, very difficult task today. Very difficult. I'm not saying it wouldn't be possible, but it would be difficult to have someone that you are engaged to and you find out they're with child. So what do you do? Well, Joseph and Mary obeyed. They followed the instructions, and they continue their journey. Now, as Christ began to grow up, let's go over to Luke 2, and let's see what happens. How well do you know your father? How well do you know your physical father? How well, family, do you know your spiritual father? In Luke 2, let's drop down to verse 39. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Verse 41, When his parents had gone into Jerusalem every year, as they always do, to keep the feast of the Passover, Jesus was 12 years old. They went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished those days, they returned. But something happened. That 12-year-old boy lingered behind in Jerusalem. Now, they continued on their journey, and they went a day's journey, and guess what they found out? Jesus wasn't with them. So can you imagine, you know, your child, you get in the car, you're leaving, you're on a day's journey down the road, and you find out somebody's not in the car. I know that has never happened to any of you mothers sitting here. I know that has never happened. But I must confess. 5 children. Anything's possible. It was a slip. Okay? We're leaving church. Beautiful Sabbath day. Kids jumped in the van. My habit was look in the rearview mirror. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Look good to me. Let's go. And that's exactly what I did. But my wife was also in the vehicle with me as well. And we drove off. Now, on our journey home, kind of had this feeling. You know, song came to mind. I just got this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, I think you've left one of your children back at church. I look in the mirror and there was something wrong with one of those little heads that didn't seem right. And so I called off a little roll call, only to find out that the baby's missing. Now, the baby, who would forget their baby? That is just unheard of. I was responsible for getting the kids in the van. Pulled over, I had 4 curly hairs and 1 straight blonde hair. And I says, we've got to go back. So we headed back to church. Now, mind you, my wife's not up. She's not panicking. Everything's just fine with her. But me, I'm thinking, who would do this? I'm a bad parent. You know, just drive off and leave your child, your baby of all people. I understood how Joseph and Mary felt right here. Because when I got back to the church hall, here was the little baby with this other family, and God's people still standing around outside in the parking lot because we had to leave the building. We just don't know when to go home. So if there's a parking lot, we'll linger. Well, thankfully, they lingered. Now, this family wasn't worried either, for some reason, that they're missing a child. They weren't worried. I think there was something wrong with them, that they were not worried that their child is not with them. So I returned their child. I picked up our child, and away we went. Of course, our child had missed a beat, didn't know anything was wrong, and yet I told my wife from that day moving forward, you are responsible for the children. But here's Joseph and Mary. They were concerned because they took a day's journey. They sought their relatives. They went to their acquaintances and know Jesus. Verse 45. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, verse 46, 3 days, Jesus is sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, no, son, no, quite sure. It wasn't soft and sweet. I think Mary was frantic. She said, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. You've been here in Jerusalem. We went home. You weren't with us. I can see it going on and on. Jesus was being scolded by his mother. And verse 49, and he says to them, why did you seek me? How would you respond to your child asking you, "Why did you seek me?" How well would you take that? We'll talk after services. "Why did you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" His Father. He is talking about his Heavenly Father. Not Joseph. His Father. He knew who his Father was. But they did not understand the statement in which he spoke to them. Now, I'm quite sure somewhere along the line, 12 years after 12 years had gone by, I think at this very moment, I think Mary may have began to remember what Gabriel said to her about Jesus. Verse 51, it says that he went down with them and came to Nazareth because he was subjected to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. But Jesus continued to increase in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. Do you think Jesus knew who his Father was? Well, absolutely he did. He knew. Let's go over to John 5. Let's go over to John 5. How well do you know your Heavenly Father? Do you walk with him? Do you talk with him? Is there an understanding that you have with your Heavenly Father? You know, as I walk and I talk with God and I seek God, sometimes I get the answers right away, and there are times I don't get the answer for quite a while, months, years, till we get the answer. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love me. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. He's going to answer the question, but he wants to see what we're going to do in the process. John 5, let's jump down to verse 16. John 5, verse 16. "For this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. He had healed a man on the Sabbath, and the Jews wanted to destroy him, because he was breaking the Sabbath." Verse 17, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.' Therefore the Jews wanted to kill him even more, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, he also said that God was his Father, which is making himself equal to God. And so," verse 19, "Jesus answered them and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees his Father do.'" Jesus Christ is doing what he sees his Father doing. How many of us who have children can look up and say to the children, "You're just like your father. That's what your father would do." Or, "You're just like your mother. That's what your mother would do." A few weeks ago, when I was back in Indy visiting with my wife and visiting with the family and the grandkids, I heard that a lot. "You know, your girls look just like you. Your girls act just like you." And as I get older, I have to agree with them. I see it. And my grandsons, as I visited with them, if my mother were alive today, I know exactly what she would say. "Those boys are just like you." And I would have to admit, I saw me in them a few weeks ago. I saw the little daredevils. I saw the little mischievous ones. I cannot deny them. They are just like me. Christ says, "What I see my Father do, I do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in the same manner." Do you act like your Father? Do you resemble your Father? Do you have your Father's ways, his attitude, his character? One of my daughters, one of the reasons that we kind of bump heads so much is because we're just alike. We're just alike. And when I recognize that and I see that, I have to say to her, "Well, you're the spitting image of me, but you have the attitude of your grandmother." And she does. And she recognizes that attitude, and she knows where that attitude comes from. And she says, "Hey, I am. And so therefore, it may not just be me, the father, or you, the mother. There are grandparents that our children take after, and especially if they are around them. But God is talking to us today about honoring him. The world is talking about honoring our physical fathers. We are talking about honoring God, our Heavenly Father. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves him. All things that he has himself, he does. And he will show us greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Honor, family, is to be given to both Jesus Christ and God the Father. We honor them. Why? Because of the sacrifices they made and the love that they have for us. Christ goes on, verse 30, he says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. Because I do not seek my own, I seek the will of my Father who sent me. Jesus Christ, his walk is to honor his Father. Our walk, family, is to honor Jesus Christ and the Father. Because we could not come to Christ unless the Father who sent Christ drew us to him. How well, family, do we know our Heavenly Father? What kind of relationship do we have with God? Do we trust God? Do we talk to him? Do we plead with him? Is it always us asking of something from him? Or do we take a moment to say, thank you? Thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this lesson. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. But thank you for this lesson and help me to learn that in which you want me to learn. How do we honor God in our examples before others? Is it our will or is it the will of God? There are those moments we would just like to reach out and touch someone. But then we have to draw back because God says, no, that's not the way. And so we have to humble ourselves. We must discipline ourselves. And in our actions on a daily basis, do our actions reflect Jesus Christ who lives within us and our Father who is above him? Jesus Christ said to his disciples, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. John 14, verse 8. We go down and we see where Philip says to him, John 14 and verse 8. He says, show us the Father and this will be sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. He just said earlier, he walks like God. He talks like God. He is a reflection of his Father. Are we a reflection, family, of our Heavenly Father? Are we a reflection of our Heavenly Father? I know that we may be a reflection of our physical fathers, but what about our spiritual Father? Jesus said to him, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Verse 10. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. On our journey, family, on our journey, whose character is being shown more before others? Our physical father or our heavenly father? Now, Christ also not only revealing himself and the Father to us, but he also reveals another Father. And he reveals that Father's character as well. Let's go over to John 8, and let's take a look at this particular Father. John 8, verse 37. He says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my words have no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you cannot see my Father. Verse 39, Jesus answered and said to him, they answered and said to him, Jesus, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if Abraham's children you are, then you will do the work of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Christ responded back to them and said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? He asked them. Because you are not able to listen to my word, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. You want to kill me. And that's what your father wants to do. So you are representing your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth found within him. When he speaks a lie, Christ says. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. You are not of God. Jesus Christ is revealing another Father and his character. And I surely hope, family, that we don't reflect that character. But at one time, we did. And that was before our baptism. We did. We walked, as the scripture tells us, we walked in darkness. But yet, we were brought into the light of Jesus Christ. Verse 48. Now the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say already that you are a Samaritan? And you have a demon. You have a demon. Christ says, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father. And you dishonor me. You are dishonoring me because you don't understand and you don't speak the things of God. It says, and I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, they shall never see death. Oh, this really stirred them up now. Now they're really having a problem with him. Because he keeps reflecting on that relationship between he and the Father. He and the Father are one. And the Jews have a problem with that. They can't see it. They can't understand it. Because their eyes have not been opened to that truth. He says, but you dishonor me because you don't understand these things. Verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is of nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, then I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and he was glad. Here we go. Jews were upset again over his sayings. Jesus Christ is reflecting and revealing the Father to them, but they refuse to accept it. They don't want to believe it. They don't want to hear it, because their eyes have not been opened to the truth. They want to continue to accept and believe a lie instead of believing the truth. Instead of believing the truth. He said, I and my Father are one. I have come to do the will of my Father. I do nothing on my own except the will of my Father. Family, I know that we will reflect and we will go back and we'll take a look at pictures of our dads and our granddads who are no longer with us, and we will look and we will see ourselves. We may even be reminded from time to time of their character, and someone may say, you're just like your father. You're just like your grandfather. You walk just like your dad. You talk just like your dad. You have your father's temperament. You have your mother's attitude. And the story will go on and on. They will begin to see you in them and them in us. But you see, God did something interesting here. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 25. We see, at the time Jesus answered them, he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. To you and me, he has revealed the truth, this understanding of who he is. And by the will of Jesus Christ, this was being done. Verse 26, and he says, and even so, Father, for it seemed to be good in your sight to do this. Because everyone cannot accept and believe the things that Christ was telling. Verse 27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And the one whom the Father wills to reveal him. Whoever Jesus Christ will to reveal the Father to, he will do that. He will do that. But the interesting thing is, family, with you and me today, we have been given a walk on this journey. And on this journey, this walk must reflect our elder brother and our Heavenly Father. When people see us, do they see God? Do they see God? When they listen to us, do they hear the voice of God? Christ said, he walks like his Father. He talks like his Father. He does the will of his Father. Family, we have been called into the family of God. And so now we have a different walk. We have to now have the image, the persona, everything about us has to reflect Jesus Christ living in us. And so when Christ was trying to explain to them again who he was and what he was doing, the Jews decided to pick up stones and throw at him because they didn't want to hear any more of what he had to say, because of the fact they didn't accept nor did they believe him being the Son of God. How well do you know your Heavenly Father? How well do you know your big brother? Do we walk with him? Do we talk with him? And in our daily actions and interactions with them, are we truly reflecting the life of Jesus Christ in us? Or are we reflecting the attitude of that other father, the one called Satan, the devil? Let's go now to 1 John 4. How well do you know your Heavenly Father? 1 John 4, Let's drop down the first, to verse 7, 1 John 4, verse 7. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for the love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God, and he knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Do we know that our Father is love? Do we know that our Father loves us? In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might have life through him. In this, family, is love, that you would sacrifice your only begotten Son. You would sacrifice him for a people that is going to reject him, a people that is going to want to destroy him. And yet, God so loved the world that he gave us his Son, that we may have life through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atonement for our sins." Verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Holy Spirit. You and I have his Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us. Does our life reflect that Holy Spirit within us? Or does that light reflect another character? And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love. He is love. No matter what we think, no matter how we feel, sometimes we think that God has turned away his head from us, and maybe he has, but it does not mean that he does not love us. He does not love us. We continue to pour out our hearts to him. We cry out to him. We seek him. But yet, also in seeking God, family, what are we doing in the meantime? God has given us many instructions through his word. Are we following those commands? Or have we just given up and said, "Oh, well"? Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so we are in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. There is no fear. Why do we fear? Why do we panic? Why do we have anxiety attacks when God abides in us? He reminds us that he did not give us that spirit of fear. He tells us not to be afraid. But yet, for some reason, that human nature takes over and we are afraid. Don't be afraid. I remember as my kids were growing up, they thought I wasn't afraid of anything. I was the toughest guy around. Dad's not afraid. Just because I didn't show it to them didn't mean I wasn't afraid. But yet, that's what they believe because they watch us. And as they grow up, you know, they thought it was a shame, you know, "Dad, I'm sorry. I want to be like you. I was scared. I panicked. But I didn't know what else to do." You know, there's that one little moment right there you want to just let them know. You know, I did too when I saw the spider. But you just didn't. You just didn't take that moment just then. You know, you continue to want to be that hero in their lives. But yet, we do become afraid. I remember when my wife was diagnosed with dementia. I remember sitting there when the doctor gave us this information. You know, I had a fear that came over me that I'd never experienced before in my life. I thought I was afraid when we were having kids because not having a father around, I didn't know, what am I supposed to do with these little guys? But yet, you learned as you went along to love them, to care for them. But here was something that I couldn't fix. Here was something I had no control over. And yet, here's something I had to completely trust God for. And I will have to admit and say to all of you that for the very first time in my life, I was very afraid because I didn't know what was going to happen. Dementia, Alzheimer's is a different beast than someone having cancer or someone, you know, breaking a leg. You know, things, those situations can be healed quickly or in time. But this is a different beast. You react differently to it. You can't control it. So what do? Well, I had to trust 100% on God. 100% on Him. And so we do have those moments in our lives when fear does overcome us. But God reminds us, don't be afraid. I've got this. I've got you. What is His reason for this? You know, here we are 8 years down the road. But throughout the trials of her having dementia, there are a lot of lessons that were learned. There were a lot of things positive that have come out of this. Even through the sacrifice I had to make in separating myself from her so that she could get the proper care that she needed. It was a sacrifice. But yet God had another plan. And what I had to do is the same as to what you will have to do. You have to keep rising up, just like He told Joshua. Rise up. Get going, because I've got work for you to do. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, verse 18. Because fear involves torment. When we are overcome by fear, we are tormented. We are in anguish because we don't know what's going to happen next. And God doesn't want us to live our lives that way. But He says, love casts out fear. And so we have to remember and be reminded that God is love. And He does love us. And regardless of the circumstances and situation we find ourselves in, He will see us through it. But we have to have that faith to keep rising up, to keep getting up, to keep moving forward, trusting and believing that He does have another plan. You know, Rahab told the spies, we were faint-hearted because of you. God's plan was to deliver them to the land in which He promised to their forefathers and to them. And God kept His promise, and He did so. And God will continue to do the same thing for you and for me today. We just have to keep rising up, keep moving forward. Doesn't mean that we're not going to stumble and fall along the way. But we want to make for sure that whatever we do, we are honoring our Father. Honor our Heavenly Father. He gave us His Son that we may have life. Are we realizing and seeing the importance of honoring God? Our physical fathers were to be an example of what it would be like with our spiritual father. That was the intent. But in many households, that doesn't work. And if God is like some people's fathers, then people don't want to have anything to do with God, because they didn't have the respect or love for their father because of who he was and how he was. But yet, we're reminded that God is different. God is love. And family, that was one of the greatest lessons for me to learn along my journey. And that was to acknowledge and accept God as my spiritual father. I knew of him, but to have that relationship with him, a relationship that I didn't have with my own, but I grew in this relationship with my Heavenly Father, to trust, to believe, and to know He's got my back every step of the way. Your physical fathers, if you grew up in the household with your physical father, he had your back. He was there for you. He was there with you. He comforted you at the time when you needed to be comforted. He believed in you. He never gave up on you. And sometimes, family, we feel that our parents just, they'll give up on us. They may be disappointed, but they don't give up. We just have to learn how to humble ourselves. Because as we get older, you know, we're smarter than they are. You know, hey, the wheel wasn't invented, Dad, when you were coming around, so you don't understand how this works. Well, I hate to disappoint you, but I'm the one that invented the wheel. You know, what do you mean I don't know how this works? But our kids become educated, and they're smarter than we are. And yet, God allows that transition to take place. Because, see, it'll come back around, and our children realize, you know what? You were a lot smarter than I thought you were. And you know how that happens? They became parents. Oops. Dad, now I know why you did such and such. I know why you said that. I saw my son-in-law give my grandson three little swats on his little rump. What was interesting about it, it was one of my old techniques. I saw my old technique, 34 years, in action. And I know who taught him that technique. And my son-in-law looked at me and was like, "Pops, it works." I know. I invented that technique. They can't run when you have them pinned down like that. And they know that technique. Family, we may look and we may act like our physical parents, but today, do we honor our Heavenly Father? Do we know Him? How do we recognize Him? Verse 20, if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And the same holds true for our parents. He says that we must honor our parents. Two ladies pushed that our nation would recognize and honor fathers on a particular day of the year. Family, we are to honor our parents every day. We are to honor God and Jesus Christ every day. He says when he speaks, he lies. And when he speaks from his own resources, he's talking about Satan the devil. So we are not to reflect that character. We are to reflect the character of God. So how do we do it? Family, we have to rise up each day, thanking God for each day, seeing Him as the God of love, recognizing Him as our own Father. We were created in His likeness and His image. Remember back in the beginning? He says, "Let us make man in our likeness and in our image." And so we have, not realizing it, we have the opportunity to reflect that way and that character of our Heavenly Father through our efforts every day, reaching out to Him, having that conversation with Him, reading of His Word, and applying it. You know, I want to look like God. Well, you know what? I do. I was made in His image. I want to act like God. Well, you know what? I can. I have His Holy Spirit. I want to behave like Him. I want others to see Him through me, as I know that each one of you who are sitting here and who are listening in via the web, you're sitting there and you're saying, you know what? I do want to do a better job in honoring my spiritual father. So family, I hope that these little notes that I've shared with you, as God has shared them with me, that we take a moment every day, not one day of the year, every day, and we thank him for the blessings that he has given to us. And we honor him by setting that right example, setting that right example before others. And when you walk away and you walk out of a room, people will say, you know, you remind me of someone. And I hope that someone is our Heavenly Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. So family, as we go forth now to honor our physical fathers, next week, have a wonderful Father's Day. Have a wonderful Father's Day. And remember whose child you are.